A reading from Ecclesiastes 1. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me, and who knows whether they will be wise or foolish. Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. A reading from Luke, chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, where will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God."
Please, would you pray with me? Holy God, allow us your wisdom. By the power of your Holy Spirit, open the scriptures to us today, that in the word read and proclaimed, we might know your truth. In your wise name we pray. Amen. I wanted to speak a little of this word that is used in Ecclesiastes, vanity. Vanity of vanities, it is all vanity. It sounds a little rant and rave-ish. What sense does it really make? Well, the author is meaning all of the things that we work at by that toil, we know that that's being indicated already, all of the pursuits of our lives, the traditional things that we approach are a little akin to the vanity of staring in the mirror so long that our mother would say to us, "Give it up! Doesn't matter, you're ready to go, we're running late." And it's normally around that age when we hope to insulate ourselves from some of what the world throws our way. The bullying, the pressure of appearing to be a certain way or have it together. And let's face it, each one of us engages to some extent in that vanity that is obviously part of the word vain. I've painted my toenails, did you see? And I got my fingernails done, too. These still look a little glossy. These ones not so much. They're losing their gloss. But I figured that I would need to wear sandals, and I'm very glad that I did because the air conditioning has gone out. So I'm grateful that I didn't have to wear a robe today and that my outfit matched. You can see I go the easy route when I reach into my closet, the simple route. Does it really matter to the quality of the sermon that my toenails and my fingernails are painted? Do you really look in your worship leader for that kind of togetherness? Maybe you do. Maybe you're particular in that way, and that's okay, I did it for you, right? I normally have time in the summer to do it, but I'm a gardener, so it gets frustrating, so please forgive me when it comes off in a week. But these are the efforts we make, right? Each one of you reached into the wardrobe this morning and chose an outfit. Each one of you may have had some thought, whether it was, thank you very much, the least I should do is brush my teeth, or whether it was a bit more and you styled your hair, combed it, chose a tie to go with a particular suit. Each one of us makes this effort, but does it really matter? Does it really matter to those of you who have known one another for so many years? When you greet one another at church, does it matter if someone's hair is styled just so or not? Not really. Not at all. The quality of the sermon hopefully will not be determined by whether or not I have shiny painted toenails or fingernails. It is ultimately completely inconsequential, right? That's the vanity of vanities that Ecclesiastes is speaking about. But the author of Ecclesiastes is applying that more broadly, not only to the things that we first associate with vanity, but to everything. Did you hear that? Everything that we work at under the sun. All our work, all our effort, all of our achievements, our wealth, our security, everything that we have worked for. The author of Ecclesiastes is saying it is a vanity. It is a vanity of vanities. I don't know about you, but that's a hard pill to swallow because we try so hard throughout our lives. And things around us seem so very real and solid to us, don't they? There are so many things in our lives that we treasure, so much so that they begin to own us. We have to have a shelf for grandma's such and such or your mother's so and so, and every time you move, you have to repack it in a box and take it with you. Anyone share that sentiment? Maybe some of you have been able to shed those things in your lives. But we have so much that is precious to us and treasured, and we make such an effort to insulate and protect ourselves through our efforts, sometimes even trying to insulate and protect our children or our grandchildren, if not in this life, but then by leaving a legacy, maybe a trust or some money or something, a home. These are the pursuits of our lives. They give us meaning. And here today, we hear in the scripture that it is a vanity of vanities. It is worth nothing. Makes me think of the dragon sitting on the hoard of gold in the mythology with all the sparkling jewels. I was a little like that as a child when I saw my grandmother's brooch collection for the first time. I was too young to know the difference between costume jewelry or real jewelry, right? And it was back in the days, I don't know, maybe some of you still have these brooches. It is back in the day of the Coco Chanel costume jewelry. It was beautiful, beautifully made, artfully made. Hand-painted, probably. None of the stones real, likely, but so beautiful to my eyes. So gorgeous, so real, so desirable, so tangible. Now, the author of Ecclesiastes is saying that when it comes to our death, when all is said and done, reaching for those objects is like smoke, like vapor. We cannot touch them. We cannot hold them. They are not ours. So we can enjoy them for a while, but it is a vanity of vanities. It is not real. It is not substantial. It is ultimately inconsequential. And in truth, it is. It is mornings like this morning when we wake up and see how easily and how quickly so many lives can be ripped away. It is on days like today when the staggering reality of human greed and insensitivity, of human hatred and violence causes our hearts to reel. The words of our faith seem like ash in our mouths. It is mornings like this morning when we realize that all is a vanity. What is really real? What is really true? Jesus gives us a beautiful parable that builds on this idea. Jesus uses the example with the man who wants his brother to divide the inheritance so that he might receive some goodness and some riches. And please know, we're not told in the story that this person is not in dire need. They may have some very legitimate need for asking their brother to split the inheritance now. Right? We're not told that part. But Jesus relays this parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "Aha! What I should do is tear down my small barns and build a bigger barn that I might hold this goodness, this surplus, that I might keep this richness and capture it, hold it like that dragon on all that gold, or a young Nanette in front of her grandmother's brooch collection." The land of a rich man produced abundantly through God's goodness and blessing. And so he says to his soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Now you can relax. Now you can eat. Now you can drink. Now you can be merry." But God says to him, "No. You fool, your soul is demanded from you this very night." And in the face of his certain death, all of the things that he had prepared and stored up, whose will they be? What will they be worth to that man then? And so it is the parable ends. For those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. What is the point? What is the point of your legacy? What is the point of all of our effort? What is the point of our waking up this morning and putting on, no matter how well or poorly coordinated, an outfit? What is the point? What is the point of my having spent probably too much money on these shiny nails? What is the point? What is the point of our keeping ourselves in order and waking up tirelessly day after day to go out into the world, to work, to volunteer, to contact friends and family? What is it for? What is it worth? Well, recently I came across a quote. It was attributed to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, but when I looked it up online, it was also attributed to the reformer, the Protestant reformer Martin Luther, and then I dug a little deeper and found that really no one knows where this quote came from, which I think may be the truth of everything wise spoken. "Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. Perhaps you've heard it before, isn't it sweet? Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. Well, friends, I thought it was a good quote to use with this Ecclesiastes scripture until I woke up this morning and realized that the world has gone to pieces again. So much so that we don't even know how to respond anymore. Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. What is it all worth? Why do we try it all in the face of the violence and the hatred that is so often all around us? Friends, yesterday our family went down to Columbus to IKEA. And forgive me for my rudeness in explaining this, but there was a young man walking through IKEA, and I don't even want to guess how many thousands of people are in IKEA at any one time. And you know, you walk past everyone as you're going on your way, and it's ginormous, so busy. It's a world unto itself. There was a young man walking along who had a large back, and on his T-shirt there were two guns. One gun formed the back of the F, and the other gun formed the back of the L. And it was a swear word, gun control. Now, I don't care what that person's politics is. I do not care at all. At all. But how and where are we at that it was okay for that individual to wear that T-shirt in public? I was knocked by it, and it was yesterday. Before I had looked at the news, I was stuck in IKEA. And my first thought was, what if that T-shirt is seen by the family member of a victim of gun violence? No matter your politics, we have to stop what feels certainly like an insanity when we are surrounded by such civil discord, when we can treat one another so poorly and so insensitively, where it is okay to take a gun into a public venue with the intent to rob people of their lives and thereby rob all of their community members of life. Friends, somehow we have to find the reason for our faith. We have to find the reason for our sense of conscience. We have to find the reason that we stand up every morning, put on clothes, and try to make the world a better place through our toil under the sun, no matter that it is a vanity of vanities. Friends, it is time for us to reclaim that despite the vanity of vanities of our human life and our toil on this earth, we believe in one who is crafting through and between us all and our efforts a greater peace and a greater hope and a greater compassion and a greater justice than any one of us on our own. It is time for us to take a stand and to begin to see ourselves as working each and every moment of each and every day toward that greater purpose. Toward that greater purpose where our richness and our largesse, our compassion, our justice, and our toil is a part of the richness of God, not the richness of self. Where we lay aside our fear, our anxiety, our dispassion, our concern, our apathy, whatever it may be, where we lay that aside and claim that even if tomorrow the world is going to go to pieces, we will still plant our apple trees. Now, we may not sit in the shade of those apple trees. We may not ever eat the fruit of those apple trees. We may not ever see those apple trees come to maturity, but we need to be about the work of planting them, trusting that there is a hope greater than our despair. There is a hope greater than our toil. There is a hope greater than the sum of all of us together. There is a hope in God. And that hope is evident in each new green leaf. That hope is the thing that drives us, despite the truth of what the author of Ecclesiastes said. That hope is what drives us each and every day to keep trying to the best of our ability. Because, friends, there is a hope tomorrow. There is a hope tomorrow. There surely is a hope tomorrow. Amen.